Welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here with a special edition celebrating American Independence Day. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Because this is a special edition, our phone lines are not open today only. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. This is a special day. I love the 4th of July. I think you guys love it as well.
Absolutely.
Yes. All of us gather at night and watch fireworks, and it's just a wonderful experience to celebrate the freedom that we as Americans enjoy each and every day.
Yeah.
But that's certainly not the case for all people around the world. There's lots of people that are enslaved, that are in bondage, that aren't free. But I guarantee you this, they long to be free. Even those of us in America, even though we enjoy the freedom that our forefathers fought for and won on behalf of each and every one of us, oftentimes we don't feel free in our own souls. And that's what we want to talk about today. How can we experience a freedom that lasts, that transcends what's happening out there in the world? And the Word of God has answers for that. That's why Jesus Christ came, so that we could experience freedom and that we could experience freedom to the full. So we're going to have a wonderful time working through different passages of Scripture today to look at the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. I'm going to start today in the book of John. I think this is a passage of Scripture that most everyone is familiar with, at least aspects of it. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, and this is John 8:31, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples." So Jesus was speaking to some Pharisaical leaders and some other Jewish people, and he's saying to them, just right to their face, if you hold to my teaching, not to the teaching of Moses, not to this teaching or that teaching, to my teaching, then you will know that you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So Jesus' teaching is truth. And when we abide in that teaching, when we hold to that teaching, we will know that his teaching is true, and that truth will set us free. So freedom is what Christ has in mind for each and every one of us. That's a longing in all of our hearts. We want to experience freedom. That freedom comes through Jesus. It comes through the teaching he has brought to us. Well, the Pharisees weren't quite sure what to do with this, and so they answered, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" If freedom is coming through the teachings of Christ, that means that we are enslaved to something else. This offended the Pharisees.
Yes.
I mean, they were incensed by that. We're Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves of anyone. I think they forgot their history, didn't they?
Just a little bit. They forgot their present is what they forgot.
Well, that's exactly right. But as far as their history, I mean, this was a total rewrite of their history, you know, as far as 400 years of enslavement to Egyptians.
Yeah.
They have a whole book in the Bible, Exodus, that talks about the rescue, the being set free.
Yeah, oh, that's small.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But they say, hey, we've never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we will be set free? Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." So what is the issue that Jesus Christ is addressing? The fact that all of us are held in bondage to sin by the law. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, we're all slaves to sin. Jesus Christ came to set us free from that bondage to sin and death. Well, we have to realize that we're in bondage to sin and death before his offer of freedom makes sense to us. We have to know our true condition apart from Christ before this new life he offers to us makes sense. And certainly the Pharisees were having a hard time with that. We're not in bondage to anything. We are free. And Jesus called them on the carpet and said, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." Paul wrote about that in Ephesians chapter 2. It's one of my favorite chapters in the entire Word of God, but he really lays out man's condition apart from Christ. Our problem, and boy, we have numerous problems. I have problems, you have problems, we all have problems, but there's one big problem that is common to each and every one of us, and it's our spiritual condition. Paul put it this way in this great passage. I think most of us know the scripture, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, that we have been saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, lest anyone should boast. But there's context to that. And this context is very, very important. Ephesians 2, 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. That's a pretty bleak picture of mankind, but it's true. It's accurate. We were all slaves to sin, and that's basically what Paul is saying. He is just embellishing the words of Jesus Christ. The person who sins is a slave to that sin, and here he gives us the detail of what that looks like. I mean, as lost people, we were following the ways of this world. Talk about slavery. We were just being carried along by the currents of this world. We really didn't have a choice in that matter. We were headed away from God, not toward him. It also says that we were following the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Talk about bondage again. That's Satan himself. And then he goes on to say that all of us also lived to gratify the cravings of our flesh. Whatever our flesh was craving for, that's what we sought to gratify. That's bondage. Well, like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace that you have been saved. What does save, being saved means? It means to be delivered. To be delivered from death, that's what happens at salvation. We cross over from death to life. We're made alive together with Christ.
Right.
And we're also delivered from the punishment of sin and the power of sin.
Yes.
And it's only there that we understand this freedom that we have in Christ. We were under control. Paul talks about that in Romans 6, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he talks about being under the law, that sin was our master. And he goes on to say how we can be set free from that.
Yeah, starting in verse 15 of chapter 6 in Romans. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey, whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that, though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness, all because of Jesus.
Powerful, powerful passage. And again, it talks about this freedom that we all long to experience. Mm-hmm. I think so many Christians sit on the fence. You know, they have one foot in the world, one foot in the grace of God, and that's just total bondage. I mean, you're paralyzed on that fence. We have to come to grips with the fact that we've been set free from that world. We've been set free from those philosophies. We've been set free from sin and death so that we could experience the fullness of life in Jesus Christ. So freedom is a two-edged sword, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's freedom from something and a freedom to something. We love sometimes the freedom from things, but we fail to embrace the freedom to things that we now have in Christ Jesus. You had two kids that you raised, and I have three kids, and Bob, you had a couple. And, you know, one of the things with kids is, you know, don't you trust me? Why don't you, you know, give me some freedom? And you say, so you want some freedom to have Bible study and to pray with your friends and to, you know, serve your fellow man? Oh, no, Mom and Dad, that's not the freedom I want. I want the freedom to stay out late at night. I want that kind of freedom.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we want. We want the freedom to do whatever we want, but that's not the freedom that God has called us to. As a matter of fact, that kind of freedom is really a return to bondage, isn't it?
Yeah. Wayne Watson wrote a song back in 1989 when the Berlin Wall came down, and everybody is cheering and screaming because people are free. The lyrics of the chorus are, freedom. People cry for freedom, but freedom without Jesus is just another wall. Freedom, give the people freedom, but give the people Jesus or they've got nothing at all. Powerful, yeah. Really captures the essence of what we're talking about here.
Yes, indeed. I love this quote by Charles Kingsley. There are two freedoms, the false, where a man is free to do what he likes. Well, that's exactly what Paul was describing in Ephesians 2. We thought we were doing what we wanted to, but in essence, we were really in bondage. And then the true freedom, where he is free to do what he ought.
Yes.
And that's what we forget. And what God has called us to, the freedom he has called us to, is a life of faith, where we're abiding in the life of Jesus Christ and allowing his life to be lived through us. That is freedom. That is where the power of sin and death is broken. It's through faith in Jesus Christ. So we're no longer under the punishment of sin, nor are we under the power of sin.
Yeah.
That is freedom.
You're listening to Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis. The phone lines are not open today because this is a special edition of Basic Gospel. It is the 4th of July, and we are celebrating American Independence Day.
Yes, indeed. And it's a wonderful, wonderful celebration, and we in America are just so blessed as citizens to experience the freedoms that we have, and we certainly are grateful for those who fought and spilled their blood on American soil and soil all around the world to preserve these freedoms, and we should never take them for granted, but there's an ultimate freedom that transcends all of that, and that's the freedom that we experience in Christ Jesus. We started out today's program talking about the words of Christ. You know, if you hold to my teaching, then you really are my disciples, and you will know truth, and truth will set you free. I can't help but think of our friend Paul Probst, who told the truth about some things he did, landed in prison. But it was in prison that he experienced this transformation of heart and transformation of soul. He came to Christ by faith, and behind those bars, he experienced real freedom in Christ. And now he is such a dynamic and energetic and enthusiastic and passionate person about freedom in Christ.
Yeah.
He really understood it, and that is just such a powerful, powerful thing. The book of Galatians is all about freedom. It is the letter of freedom. It is liberating truth. And chapter 5 is really significant as far as all of us are concerned. And Paul really lays out some powerful, powerful truths in that particular chapter. He starts out with just this wonderful, wonderful announcement. The reason that Christ Jesus did what he did, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And Christ unlocked the chains, he loosened those chains, he took them off, and he said, go free. That's why he died, to set us free. That's why he was raised, so that we could live free. That's the whole purpose that Christ came, that we could experience freedom. So he says, stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. While we're in this world, this freedom is going to be a fight, isn't it?
And
if we're going to experience freedom, we're going to have to fight for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do we do that by faith? How do we give every effort to hold on to this freedom that we have in Christ?
Well, it's one of those kind of paradox-sounding things. You know, you think, well, if I need to be wrestling for freedom at all times, then I have to be finding out what it is that's binding me and tearing those bonds loose. And it actually doesn't work that way at all. It works by fixing our eyes on Jesus. The battle is to keep our eyes on Jesus and off of all this other stuff. He's the source of freedom. He's the source of life. And when we get our eyes off of him, when we stop contemplating what it is that he is doing for us every minute of the day, that's when we start slipping back into this bondage. But when we keep our eyes fixed on him, that means that the Holy Spirit is free to work inside of us to conform us to the image of who Jesus is, and then to overflow from us to others and provide them the same kinds of freedom. But if we try to wrestle it in our own strength or try to get ourselves out of bondage in our own strength, it only ties us up in nastier and nastier knots. We just can't do it. The freedom is in Jesus and only in Jesus.
So it gets down to the how-to.
The how-to.
You know, how do we live this Christian life? Is it through rules and regulations? Is it through obedience to those standards? Or is it through faith in Jesus Christ? And I think what Paul was stating here, don't let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. It's this return to the old way.
Yes.
Trying to earn God's love and acceptance and gain his favor through obedience, through human effort. As a matter of fact, in chapter 3, he makes this statement, "You foolish Galatians."
Yes.
They had done that. They had drifted back to their old ways, and so doing, they had drifted back to slavery, to bondage. They were set free. They didn't know how to live freely, and so they drifted back to the old ways. Mm-hmm. But God hasn't called us to live by rules and regulations or by principles or by rituals or any of those things. He's called us to live free by a life, the life of Jesus Christ. And we do so by faith. And so that's the constant battle that we have. How are we going to live this Christian life? If we want to remain free, it's by faith in Jesus Christ. If we go back to the old ways, well, the law had a purpose, and that purpose was to identify our condition and to point out sin, to show us
that we were in bondage.
We were in bondage. So that's just going to keep doing. The law is just going to keep doing what it was intended to do. And so when we go back there, we're going to feel trapped again. Even though Jesus has already set us free, we're going to live as if we're slaves. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus says, let's go back to this new life in Christ. And it's a life that is lived by faith in me, Jesus, the one who loves you and gave himself for you. So Paul concludes this chapter, this section of the chapter, "You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another in love." So the freedom from bondage, the freedom from the punishment of sin, the freedom from the power of sin, that was secured for us through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. But it also enabled us to be free to do something that we've never been able to do before.
Yes.
And that is to love God with all of our hearts and to serve others in love. Sin never allowed us to do that.
No.
Even though we may have wanted to, even though we may have desired.
Even have put up a good front.
Right.
Kind of faked it, but it wasn't there.
It wasn't genuine.
Yeah.
We still felt something missing. I remember taking my little brother, Floyd, to Six Flags. You know, I kept harping at the church, you know, we need to do more to serve the poor and the underprivileged and those folks in our community. And finally, the thought hit me, well, why aren't you out doing that? Well, it's much easier to harp at the church. You know, we got to get the church to do that. So I decided, okay, I'm going to volunteer. And I went to my town's community center, and they said, why don't you join the Big Brother program? And they assigned me to a mentally challenged person, 43 years of age, named Floyd. And I went and met him, and boy, he was this dynamo. I mean, he was just full of life and energy and so excited about having a new friend. And I asked him what he wanted to do, and he said, "Bob, take me to Six Flags." And I said, "Okay, I'll take you to Six Flags." And we scheduled a day, and boy, as that day drew near, man, my whole heart just started to to dread that experience. You know, what are my friends going to think? What are, you know, I'm going to be made fun of because I went to Six Flags with my mentally challenged 43-year-old little brother. And my heart was just in knots. Well, the day came and man, the weather was atrocious. Just rain was in the forecast all day long. So I had to call Floyd with the bad news. We can't go to Six Flags today. Well, he was so disappointed, and you could just hear it in his voice. And I said, well, I'll pick you up next week. And so the next week came, and a beautiful day. We went to Six Flags. And all day long, I was serving Floyd. Man, he was having the day of his life, but it was just utter agony for me. I mean, I was just in bondage to what people were thinking and the stares and the laughs and all of that stuff. I remember getting on the log ride, and we had stood in line for a long time, and it was hot and it was muggy, and we go up these steps and down the steps, and we get loaded into this log ride, and we take off and we turn the bend, and our log goes underneath all of those steps where all of those hundreds of people were waiting for their whitewater adventure. And as we do, Floyd just rips his shirt off and raises his hand in joy. And he was just so excited. Man, I wanted to get under the sea. I mean, it was just such a moment for me. Well, here I was trying to do good, but I was a slave to my own insecurities and fears.
Yep.
Pitiful, pitiful. And at the end of the day, Floyd was exhausted. He was spent. And we're walking out of the park, and he puts his arm around me and just drags me close and says, Bob, I love you. And those words just crushed me. They identified my insecurities and my fears. And they brought me to a point and said, Lord, I want to be set free.
Yeah.
I want to experience something different. And that's exactly what God has said here, that we can be set free to genuinely serve others in love so that we can join in and have the time of our lives just as they're having the time of their lives. That's what this new life is all about. And that's what God has called us to. So you, my brothers, were called to be free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Don't use this freedom to indulge the flesh. Serve one another in love. That's the great freedom that we have, and we'll never feel more free than when we're doing exactly that.
Absolutely.
And it is the most rewarding thing, and no one can take that away from us. There will never be a law written that can rob us of that. There will never be a tyrannical government that can rob us of that. Certainly, they can rob us of other freedoms. They can rob us of things that, you know, other governments have set in place. But they can never rob us of this freedom that we have in Christ. It is wonderful. Take hold of it. That's what this gospel message is all about. Christ Jesus died to set you free, to set you free from the punishment of sin, to set you free from the power of sin, to set you free to experience the fullness of life in Him. It's the greatest thing ever. Take hold of it, and as a believer, live free.
Yeah.
Well, Bob and Richard, thanks for these reminders of the blessing of freedom we have as believers in Jesus Christ. We celebrate the occasion at Basic Gospel by sharing with you the truth of the remaining freedoms we have as Americans, and that we've inherited eternally as children of the living God. So from sea to shining sea, we celebrate American Independence Day, and we hope your celebration will be a safe and blessed one. We ask that you prayerfully consider making a gift at this time to support the ongoing proclamation of the truth of God's Word and the great salvation and life that are freely given when we exercise simple, childlike faith in Christ Jesus. Just click Donate on any page at basicgospel.net. Your gift will help Basic Gospel to continue broadcasting and streaming the good news of the love of Jesus Christ. Again, just click Donate on any page at basicgospel.net. Well, thanks for joining us for this Independence Day special edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, wishing for you and your family and friends a blessed holiday celebration in and because of our Lord Jesus Christ.